Elevation Radio.
All right, God bless you. This is Elevation Radio 1. I'm your host, Mr. Steve, Music Matt Turner, and we thank you for taking a journey with us. This is a program that spotlights positive people doing positive work while serving a positive God whose name is Jesus, and we love that name. Subject matter today is geographical praise. That's what I did. Geographical praise. If the earth has praise, why aren't you praising God? And so Isaiah chapter 42, verse 10 to 12, God demands peace. He demands it. Verse 12, let the whole world glorify the Lord. This is a request, but a demand. What else is there to say to justify why you aren't delivering what he wants? You're busy, working late, family issues, holidays. It's essential to our survival and our identity. We were created to be God, not for fun, sports, social media, obsession, or making idols out of so-called celebrities here on earth. If that's quite okay. Today, we are by Pastor Jason Roseborough, the Roseborough family, and Bobby Roseborough for such a time as this ministries. Long-time friend and elementary school classmate. When we say, hear ye, we're going to read the scripture because my wife is not well. She suffered a fall. She's being treated at a medical facility. Even now, keep her in prayer. It says here, let the wilderness and the cities of Lebanon, they have watched the villages of Kedar and inhabitants of the rock, take, let them shout from the top of the mountains and give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. So it's asking earth to praise him. All right. And so we welcome to our program, Elder Thomas Ministries. How you doing, Pastor?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed in the highly favored.
That's fantastic. All right. And to brought along another one of your brothers. And this is, what's your name, sir?
Bob and Roseborough.
Bob, yes, sir. No problem.
Bob and B-Y-R-O-N.
Sir, got it. So the question is, who is Jason, Mr. Jason Roseborough? Who is?
Well, Jason Roseborough is a man that, called by God to do his will and just basically a man who's surrendered to the call of God. We have a young ministry called For Such a Time as This Ministry, where we focus on the call, the practical side of the scriptures, not just quoting the scripture, but practically using the scriptures and living the scriptures as God has called us to live the scriptures. We exegete the scripture. We find out God's intended meaning, and we actually perform it. We seek to perform it by the grace of God. So that's our ministry, and I always place myself second. Jesus is the reason for the ministry. It's a long, my story began years ago, having been introduced to the Lord through my mother. And I'll just say the story. Long story short, there came a time when I had to make my mother's God my God, and hence we are here. So that's the story.
Gotcha. And so when you say it's a new ministry, how many members do you have?
We're a young ministry. I don't think we're new. We started in 2017, and we were growing as a young ministry, but of course COVID has come. We're an online ministry. We meet Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 7 o'clock.
Oh.
And And what ours is a teaching ministry. So we have, we invite all to come out. We have upwards of, we've had as many as 10, 12, 13. We have, you know, fluctuates on each given day. People are hungry for to learn the word of God, not just the rhetoric of the word. So we have a lot of people.
I understand. I was going to say that when I was actually in the Kenmorta building, you know, it, maybe the most we might have had was 5 at the most, and normally, you know, 8, 9, at one time they were preached to nothing. Cheers. And so sometimes people come in, especially those reps looking for, you know, a big ministry, looking at your flat wares. So one guy came to the door, and he saw how small we were, shook his head, and walked away because we were not even worthy of that. But if you get catch one soul, I think that's important to God.
Amen. You know, Pastor Steve, I, you know, one thing I've learned to never do, judge my ministry concerning numbers. My ministry is judged by my obedience to the call of God. The Bible declares that, and God added to the church those such as should be saved. So we wait for God to do the saving. I'm just required to do and be obedient to His Spirit, as God that both wills and does His good pleasure.
You've just a lot of people there, sir. Yes, you have. And the family is important. Your brother, are you a member of the church, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. What role do you serve?
Trustee.
So you account support.
I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
Yeah. Okay. I said you're counting the money.
No, trustee takes care of the church. Steward is
right.
Takes care of the money.
Oh, not every church does that. When I'm waiting to get my money on Sunday, my check, playing organ, I have to wait on the trustees.
Yeah, but it's the our trustees take care of the church. We on Fulton and Riggs on Mount Pisgah.
Okay. Oh, okay. That's a tough area. But sorry. Let me make to my callers here. Let's see here. All right, Elevation Radio 1, how can we help you? Okay, talking to you, 443-510. Okay, we'll come back. All right, let's go to this. Elevation Radio 1, how can we help you? 443-970-19. Okay. I guess we just have people calling to listen today.
Yeah.
All right. So tell us more about how did you know you were called by God?
Can you say that one more time?
Yes. How did you know you were called by God to be a pastor?
Well, you know, I just thank God. You know, God had His hand on me as a young boy. I started in Mount Pisgah CME, and, you know, even then I knew the call was on my life. I just didn't know what to do concerning the call. One of the reasons why our ministry is a mentoring ministry as well, because a lot of times you have people who come to know the Lord, and what we teach is, I know I'm a Christian. The question is, how do I be a Christian? How do I live an empowered life as a Christian? So one of the things, as I was young, you know, I knew I had to call. I had no clue. And, you know, I'm almost 60 now. So, you know, back in the day, you know, people practiced church as usual. It wasn't more interactive. It was more of a lecturer and a listener. So maybe that's my experience. But I grew up in Sunday school and loved the Lord and knew the Lord, and that never was an issue to me. So, you know, I always knew I had to call, and one day I just relinquished understanding. The call requires a yes. The call requires a yes concerning me and God. And God just took over from there. So if you see any success, it's God.
So, okay.
So I'm just, right. God is just opening doors. I'm just walking through.
Amen.
So that's all it is. I have the faith to walk through.
And because of your faith, your brother believed also and came on in with you.
We all grew up at home, and you know we come from a large family.
Yeah.
And our parents passed early in life. My parents, I was 8 years old when my dad passed, and my mother passed when I was 12, and I was the youngest. So you know, my mother did raise us under the obedience of the word and in the church. We were required to go to church, and the greatest thing about sitting under the word of God, it will accomplish its purpose. So the word was implanted as an early age. But I always tell the story, God was God when I was in his will, and he was God when I was out of his will. And in the end, I proclaim that God is God, that he's Lord. So that's the call as we go through. The Bible says, Philippians 1:6 says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's a continual process of sanctification. So we're moving to a greater understanding, a greater knowledge of Jesus Christ, and, you know, great obedience, a great understanding that what the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. So when we seek the things of God, when we live a God-centered life, when we transform our mind from the worldly ways to the godly ways, then God is glorified in our lives.
All right. Did you know or realize that the scriptures we're talking about today are actually a song of praise to the Lord?
Amen.
And so he commands melody that the heart should give him praise. And praise is the most bragging of God. So the earth is required to praise God. Then why are humans, institutions, inanimate objects, when I say inanimate objects, I mean they don't move, like, you know, City Hall, the mayor. Don't move. Why all of them praising God and worshiping, yeah, leading people to God? That would, why was it a problem? Yeah, why is that a problem, Pastor?
That,
people can't praise God.
Can you say that one? The question once more.
Like, okay, if this picture, the whole earth is required to praise God, villages and cities and inanimate objects, as I said before, like people, places, things, even dead things like City Hall, why isn't prayer coming up out of these places and pray?
Well, the problem is, first of all, that people praise God, but the Bible says the goodness of God is leading you to repentance. There's no praise apart from repentance. You can't repent until I know the Lord Jesus Christ. People praise him for the greatness, the thing. The Bible says, we in Romans 1, Romans says that we tend to worship the created things more than the Creator himself. We made the things of God an idol more than God himself. We want the blessings more than we want the blesser. So what we see is the Bible also declares that the carnal mind is not subject to the things of God, neither indeed can be. So as people live in a worldly life, and watch this, a worldly life, a life of abundance, of riches, are blessings. We tend to not move toward the mandates that God requires us to do, because when I'm in that state of putting the blessers before the blessing, I'm sorry, the blessings before the blesser, I'm not subject to the laws of God. I'm not under the authority of the laws of God. So in essence, I praise myself and say, look what God has done for me. And I began using God as, quote unquote, the ATM. When I need it, I can call God and he gives it to me. And that validates my connection with God. That's the world's philosophy. But we know the inherent knowledge of God is not enough for salvation.
So the demons know about God and Jesus Christ, and they tremble, but that's not enough. There's no other time, I think, you can check me if I'm wrong, that we see more idol worship and just things and stuff and accumulation and shopping than Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
Or Black Friday.
Well, you know, I thank God, because God is God over all of that stuff. He's the God. He's always shown himself to be greater than any God we could ever imagine or create. We've watched God in this time of the past couple of years, that all of those idols that we have created, that we worshiped, job, home, car, family, things, worldly things, God has shut all of those things down. Some people even worship the act of going to church, the act of being on the choir, the act of being a Christian, the act of reading the Bible. So God has shut all those things down. Why? So we can focus on him and not on all of the stuff. When I'm going through the problems that I have in this day and time, I'm calling on the God that I know exists. I'm not calling on my supervisor, my job, because I don't have a job anymore. I'm not calling on the money, the banker, because I don't have any money. I'm calling on the God of the universe, asking him to intervene in my situation.
Pretty fantastic. There's some preachers, not you, but there's some pastors and preachers and bishops and all the apostles who have their title and worship that, and they want you to work with. And then there's folks who are impressed with their own preaching ability and how they raise offerings and get people to go in their pocket. They actually are digitalized by, even by other preachers, because of praise and offering. And so that becomes, internal worship. Have you ever experienced that in the
experience? I believe that what has happened in the past years is a wake-up call to the church, the people of God. I wasn't saying that concerning the people that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. That's a wake-up call to the people of God, that we've got a place. That's what God had to do with the Israelites concerning the idols. God had to show them that it was wrong, and that he indeed was the futility of idols. And when we read we're in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, when we're reading the 41st chapter, God would address that with Israel. So in today's time, the Bible says that the judgment starts at the house of God. So I believe that throughout all of this, God is calling his people back to a true relationship that's predicated on being verse 42. You know, when Isaiah spoke of the servant, that he's calling us back to be servants. He's calling us back to servanthood, serving the master and not ourselves.
Very good, I tell you. Let me try to go to some of these callers who are hanging on the line and didn't say anything. Let's try one more time if they can. Yeah, okay. Television Radio 1, you're live on radio. 443-510. Let's go to the second call. 443. Okay, 443-970. We're going to try that one more time. You're live on the radio. Hello, it's Radio 1. Can I help you? Okay. Well, it looks like moving on. If you had to say something to unsaved people who know God, Pastor Roseborough, what would you say?
Well, I would just encourage them that we serve a God that's present. The Bible, we still in Romans 1, the Bible says that God has revealed himself through nature, a general revelation to all people. Nature, we know there's a God. You know there's a God. The Bible says that Romans 1 says that God has revealed himself through my moral character. I do know right from wrong. So I encourage them that the God of the universe is not hiding from you. He has revealed himself to you for a purpose. And the Bible says that if I seek the Lord with all my heart, I would find him. The word of God says it, that you will find him. So my prayer is that you will seek him, and we understand that Jesus says that I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come into the Father but by me, John the 14th chapter. So my prayer is that they will call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, and you would be saved. So I would just encourage them to try. They tried the idols of the world. They tried the cars, the house, the relationships, and the
things. Yeah, that's right.
That I would encourage them to try Jesus Christ. And if I repent, the Bible says if I repent, and repent means turn around, have a change of thought, change of mind. And that if I turn to God and say, God, I'm turning to you now, and just receiving Jesus Christ by faith, not knowing the Bible, not knowing all that stuff Pastor Jason talking about, but I'm stepping out on faith. And I'm asking Jesus Christ to be my Savior. The Bible says God would save them. It says, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I would be saved. That says God saves me. How? By his spirit. We're talking spiritual things today. We're not talking about worldly things. That's what I would say.
And so eloquently said, and I know it's going to be received. I was reading the scripture and I found a meaning beyond what I've learned before, and that is the servant. So Christ came because he came to serve, not to be served. With this revelation of this of the depth there is, and that also that as a servant dependent upon the master, and when we get saved or to become saved to the next level. But I also discovered that somewhere in courts back in the Old Testament, the leader, the king, also the servant, that he came into court with, into his courts, that it actually trust to lean on so that he wouldn't fall. And so the narrator asked the question, can Christ lean on you for his ministry, for his work? To be kind to people, to take the homeless, to do the work of God through Christ, and he lean on you. Do it. We got some callers here. Let's try one more time. Alrighty. Elevation Radio 1, on radio. Elevation Radio 1, 443-970. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Hello, Christian Radio 1, you're live on radio. Yeah, I can speak 443-780.
Yes, how do you mute it?
Hit the headset. She's a listener. Okay. We're going to... I have to deal with this from time to time, Patrick. All right, so let's back to talking. I just wanted to enjoy the podcast. And Let's talk the topic. Let's go into a little history for the listeners who are going to listen to this program, and for those who are listening now. How long?
I met Pastor Steve as a young child in kindergarten. Isn't that something? How many people would know someone that long? We were in kindergarten in elementary school, and the Lord would connect us. We had a connection. I was young, and as we know, most kindergartens are fearful, even as they come to kindergarten. And I became friends with him. I hadn't befriended anyone else in the school at the time.
Wow.
And God would, throughout the fullness of time, he would bring us full circle into ministry, which is awesome. And, you know, that's over 50 years ago.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Steve is an old alumna.
Careful. So, that's 56 years. Wow. And so, I don't remember all that kind of old, but I remember, not the kindergarten part, I remember actually elementary school, Edgewood Elementary School. I remember, because you cannot get your head puffed up too much, someone will buff it. So actually, I couldn't, those days, I could run them. So I remember that the first leg change at the park, to say, if he's on the fence, we haven't got him by now, we just have to wait until the day. And so I was seeing on the length of the fence, and I said, I jumped. I was the second one, and I made it, and I was like home free. I get to live another day, and then something came out of this like speed race and caught me, brought me back. I'm like, it's not humanly possible. Who could it be? And it was Jason Roseburg. Yeah, damn it. I think he was number one. Oh, I was number
two. Amen. Amen. But you know, Pastor, as I think about it, I thank God for you, because you, God does give us an opportunity to look back on our lives to give us a reference point concerning where we were then, and sometimes we gotta assess ourselves to where we are now. That's the nature of God. He always asks people to see where they are in the moment. Many people, we talked about whether people would come to know Jesus Christ or not. You know, many people don't take the time to stop and to see the blessings of God, that God has been faithful throughout the years. We're lenders, not borrowers. We're alive and we're not dead. So as we think about the things of God in this day and time, of the day of the fleetingness of death, the Bible says that it's appointed on the man to die, and we see so much death around us, and not only the lack and poverty and things, but we see death. So we need to, as we talked about knowing each other 50 some odd years ago, we have less years in front of us than behind us, and a lot of the listeners may be there. That's not to scare anyone, but it's just that God calls us to be conscious. The Bible says sober. That means clear-headed. We've got to understand that our lives are fleeting, and God has made a way for us to have eternal life with Him. We were in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. I was looking at the fifth verse. In the fifth verse, it goes like this. It says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from in it, who gives breath to people on it and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand to keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. He's speaking of the Messiah. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. This is the prophetic of prophesying of this Messiah. But watch verse 7. This, now he's talking about us. He says, to open the blind eyes to bring out out prisoners from prison. He talked about the prison of sin. The sin had his grasp on us. And he say out of prison, he say those who sit in darkness from the prison house. He's using metaphorical terms for you to understand, but the interpretation is that he's talking about sin. He say, I am the Lord, and that's my name. He says, and my glory I will give to another, nor my praise to carve out images. So we see that he indeed has declared that the Messiah would indeed come. He said, why? To bring us out of the darkness into the marvelous light, the Bible. When we're talking about Romans, says that the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness from heaven. That's the people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The truth is that he prophesied that the servant would come, the Messiah would come, and notice it said to verse 6, to keep you and to give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, that would be us. So we just thank God for his him prophesying the Messiah. The Messiah has come in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's the message. As we look back on our lives, if we don't, you talked about the people that don't know Jesus Christ. If I don't know Jesus Christ, the word for you today is that the Messiah has come. If I call upon the name of the Lord, the Messiah is the one that God has sent to save me, to get me out of my prison, the darkness in life, and to save me from the powers that have separated me from him.
And so I want to stay there. Get out of the prison. We cannot unlock prison door ourselves. The prison door of drugs, the prison door of alcohol, prison door of infidelity, basically means no control over your sexual urges and appetites, mean and respectful. We can't unlock those doors. That's terrible in our sinful nature. But there is one that can unlock your prison door.
Amen.
And all you got to do is say, I want it. I can't unlock it myself. It's been bothering me for all my life. Tired of it. And I don't want to do it. Take you just as you are. Filthy. Unlovable.
Amen.
Hey, chicken head. He'll get it out of you. That's all you need to do. Come forward. And to come forward means spiritually. Willfully. And because he's not going to enter you with you being... you know, he's not going to beg you. He's going to wait for you to ask him. And for me, I had to plead and say nonsense to me. I had to do a lot of stuff.
Amen.
And to get out my ego, because I was full of pride. So when I broke it down, and I received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And once I got it, I knew I had it because I was telling my mother every crazy downside, you got to stay on it. My friends bring you back to the dark side. It's like an addict. You got to get new friends. Ask God for friends. Ask God for help. That's important. And so now, you know, we're supposed to be on the program. My wife has walked back in the door, thank God, from the doctors. And, let me tell you a secret that she meant for me to get for the listeners. When I heard her yell at me, and I was pissed, and I ran into the kitchen to figure out what's going on. I saw her on the floor, laying there in pain, and I fell on the floor. So finally I had to get back up and say, you can't help me. I said, listen, there's no one else. The cavalry is not coming. It's going to be just me. I got to it. And so I got her and picked her up, and just came from the doctor. So what was she doing in there that cost us this situation? She was in there getting a piece of apple pie. Can you believe it? Amazing. But for our listeners, the cavalry is coming, and that is Jesus the Christ. Christos. He is the cavalry, the whole army, the battalion for our military friends. The platoon is...
Amen.
I wish I could get an amen on here.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So how does that help you, history?
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah. How does your wife, the gift that God gave
my wife
help
here,
you in the ministry?
My wife, my help is here, and she's moral support, and just pet, and she's just here listening. She's doing well. We're blessed and highly favored.
Okay, I wish she'd get on the line so I can if your question.
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right now. You're here.
Sorry to hear about
you. Does she know me? Can you ask that question again?
How long have you known Pastor Jason Roseborough?
Oh, let me see. I've known him quite a while, maybe 15, 20 years.
Did you guys meet in church like that way?
Well, no, actually, we met at work.
We met at work.
Yeah.
I got an eye on you. Is that right?
No, she worked where I worked, and that's how she knew me. She knew me in a professional manner first.
Absolutely.
Okay. But did you find that he was getting to work extra early?
No, it was regular time.
Was he staying late?
Well, I made it to work every day.
Huh?
I look forward to going
sure
to work every day.
I know you did, sir. So
never
try to break
today.
It up. I'm sure. Why are you getting to work so early? Why are you staying so late? I got a reason. I'm not gonna go. when did he move from putting it on you to actually coming out and asking you out?
Well, I'll tell you what. He didn't ask me out first. What happened was I hurt myself on the job.
Oh.
And out of all the people on the job, he was the only one that came to see about me.
Oh.
And after that, I said, you know what? That's a catch right there. Because he was the only person who cared about me when I hurt myself. So, you know, after that, that's when we really started talking to each other.
Let me
tell you the story so you'll know from my side. You know, I'm a spirit led. We're talking about the things of God. So I saw her at the job, and before she even knew it, the Lord said, "That's going to be your wife." And then as things unfolded, you know, and she's my wife now. So I always talk about the call of God, how God, and that's the whole point that people got to know, that God's always working in life. I'm looking at the story of Joseph's family, and for those who are on, they may be going through something, that Joseph's family had sold him into slavery,
mm-hmm.
and they had said he was dead, and he was taken out his family's life. He went through a hard time, was put to jail falsely. He was falsely accused and all of these things. And God would later in life elevate him to a point that he was the second most powerful person in the world at that time. And he was in charge of things. And so he would meet his brothers later. And his brothers would be fearful of him. But he loved his brothers. He told his brothers this. He said, listen, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. So I say that as I talk about my relationship with my wife, that as we go through things in life, God has a plan down the road. You just got to continue to look to him. Because he's a life changer. He changes circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look, a lot of people drift through relationships and life circumstances falsely believing that there is no end of the story. But God has a plan for our lives, and his plan is that we the Bible says, that we be conformed to the image of his son. So at the beginning is to know Jesus Christ, and then just going for the ride. I was looking at something. Let me read you this real fast. I was looking at it. I was doing my study, and the study said that it said that God was not surprised. There was no surprise as to us to be in Christ. When I had the paperwork here, I wanted to give this quote. This is what we got to understand, that we're chosen not by accident. The Bible declares that Jesus Christ was crucified before the world began, and that God, preordained to be in Christ. Redemption was not an afterthought to God. God was not responding to the circumstances in our lives. Let me say that again. God is not responding to the circumstances in our lives or to some unforeseen evil. So as I think about, we were talking about you and I meeting through life, and as my life has unfolded and meeting my wife, and as God has brought me to this point, I see that God was in control all along. And that's for the listeners, that they need to understand that God is in control. All we need to do is to get out of the driver's seat and get in the passenger seat and say, God, here's the wheel.
And so this is absolutely true.
So you asked me about the call and how did I know the call. I just released myself to God. I got out of the driver's seat and got in the passenger seat and let God take over life.
Uh-huh. If you like that message, if you like the message that Pastor Jason has just delivered to you, very humbly, you can go 914-205-5353. If his words have touched your heart, 914-205-5353. And I'll take a pause to put a pen in this conversation for a second. We'll be back doing a special emergency broadcast tonight at 8 o'clock to 9:30. And that will be, okay. Just going to cause me to have phone calls. So we're going to talk about the homeless situation here in Baltimore. And what is the city doing about it? Lord have mercy. We'll have the great Reverend Christina Flowers in this program and some of her supporters. We've got to do something about winter coming. We've got to do something about the homeless. And with all the money that the mayor is getting, city council, and this government, what are they spending it on if it's not being directed to our homeless? Should be no homeless people left on every corner based on the amount of money that HUD gave to the city. So be sure to tune in and call in at 1-914-205-5353. November 11th for their literary festival. And you might say literary festival. The music man, is he a passive literary festival? God bless, write three books. So, because I'm an author, that's how I get in. They're going to be in. My session will be from 2 to 2:45, and it'll start from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you need to be for that and register on event. All right, back again. And so I stand the romance side and the theological side. I'm just trying to decide, Pastor Rosemar, where you actually.
Where did I pop the question?
How did you do it?
Well, you know, I'm more of an informal man. You know, I wasn't such a formal. The greatest part is the Bible says that the man that finds a wife finds favor with God.
Uh huh.
So for the listeners who are seeking a mate, and I'm just talking my own experience. You know, when you find when that one, that scripture says that God has favor with you, so God sends the wife that's for you. So as it unfolds, and you know, people ask us about the relationship, our relationship just evolved. So I can't say it was premeditated. I knew God said she was going to be my wife. I had no clue. And again, I just released it to God, and here we are today. So we decided to get married to be in obedience to the Lord. And it was a common decision that we made. The Bible says it's better to marry than to burn. So it was a rational decision that, you know, we had to make a decision concerning each other. Some of the problems in the world today, and people drift in relationships because nobody wanted to make the decision. And we just made the decision. We did go through counseling and that sort of thing. We didn't just jump into things. But I just wanted, you know, after all of it was rationally done. And I just thank God for how he led me to where I am. So it wasn't pie in the sky. I just thank God that, you know, my wife and I, we hear the stories of our best friends, you know, having best friends, people say, my wife and I fit each other. We fit each other. So, and that, even when I say that, when people ask about our relationship, it's hard to explain because, you know, when God sends the one, I don't know why she would be with me. But say she's the one. She's going to wake up one day.
That's what
I definitely married up.
I mean, well, really, I showed a great musician here. I saw his car. I pulled up years ago before I married, and I introduced him to my wife, who will be my wife, Gage, I think. And he called me over after he waited there in the passenger seat. He called me over. And they said, can you lean over a little bit more? I said, and to his driver, he says, Steve, she's absolutely beautiful. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah. What's wrong with you? I said, hey, listen. I said, listen, don't say it too loud. I'm trying to marry her before she wakes up. Realize. Yeah. Did you get all that? So what I was saying, I knew it was happening because the picture that you sent me to circulate in the social media, I've been on you a long time, sir. I've never seen you showing all 32 of your teeth that you were doing.
Can you say that again?
Is your wife still there?
You said it was social. You said something about it was circulating on social media. The picture.
Yeah, I put a social media ad about your appearance on this program. And the picture that I saw, I wanted her to make sure she heard it. Is she still there?
Yes, she's still here.
Okay. Ma'am or Mrs. Queen Roseboro, Pastor Jason Roseboro, I've known him a long time. I've never seen him with such a big smile on his face. He was like lighting up the world because the whole world was lit up. And he's just, this is me now, yeah. I'm like, that's okay. So I never doubt about his love for you because he was lit up like a Christmas tree. I never seen anything like amazing what a God-given relationship will do for you. Yes, indeed. So,
well, again, from what I can hear, you know, the Lord is, you know, for those who are single in you know, contemplating marriage, or, you know, one of the things in our ministry we have on Fridays at 7, we have a relationship study. And what we do is we go over the issues of relationships. Some of the problems in relationships is that we get in relationships not really knowing what relationships are all about. I was talking to someone the other day. The hardest part about relationships is relationships. So, you know, one of the things that I've found that even as God would move on our lives, a lot of people tend to not make decisions for marriage for fear of relationship issues, whether it's going to go right. And some people have had a poor relationship in the past. But I tell the story that first we have to make the commitment to God concerning the other person. And then we got to roll our sleeves up and do the work of understanding that that other woman, that this woman is different from me, that woman has to understand that the man is different from the woman, and she's got to roll her sleeve up and start to and try to understand her and her motives and put the past away and start today. And the woman's got to do the same. So as we continue in our relationship, what we try to do is to practice that. So it's not a lot of be transparent. It's not a lot of to say. It's hard to explain. But you know, when it comes to our relationship, where we just try to live a life that honors God as best we can. The Bible, remember, the Philippians 2:13 says that it's God that both wills and does His good pleasure. I was looking at Ephesians. I was going to give you. I'm a Bible guy, in case you didn't know. I believe the word, and we try to live by the word. But you can't live by the word if you don't know the word. So Ephesians, the third chapter, the 20th verse says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." So we need to aim high concerning our relationship and trust God to do more than what I even thought. So I got to aim high concerning relationship issues. And he said he would do above anything that we would ask or think, according to what? That power, that Spirit of God that works in us too. And the Bible says, when I yield to the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and I'm going to be led by the Spirit. So when we talk about our relationship, I can't take claim to it. That's God working in our lives. So when people ask me questions about the things of God, it's hard for me to explain, because the Spirit of God does what He's doing. For whatever reason, He has us on this path, and He has us together in a harmonious relationship. So I don't claim it or say that I have a lot to do with it. It's the Spirit of God that, indeed, and I'm just saying that for the people who are maybe dating or having second thoughts about marriage or even thinking about marriage, that, you know, it's honorable, you know, and I just thank God for him sending me the woman that's for me.
I tell you, it's a wonderful experience knowing that if like love, that spiritually you do well, and just general peace, which is very important. And so now being a wife pastor is not easy, and something I could see it when I was in other relationships. They could be, I'm like, what? I'm not trying to know pastor. I'm just trying to save this marriage. What are you talking about? You could see it. The next person I got involved with said the same thing. I just said, I can't do it. I said, what can't you do? I can't be involved with a minister. That's what I ain't trying to miss. I'm just trying to keep this relationship alive. And they rolled out. That was the beginning of the Exodus. Exodus, not everybody wants to be bothered with you. But that's when you know God's giving you the right one. And I didn't know, because I was too stupid. It was another bishop that told me, while I went through my separation, they said, he said, we can roll up in school. I'm not trying to be in the seminary. Bishop, I'm going to keep you a minute of music. I'm out. So he kept talking, looked up in the sky, and said, you're a unique gift to the Christ. Not a rep. He said, they kept writing the paperwork, and they finally said, because you're so unique, God just can't be any woman. Say, God is building you a wife. And I thought about the magnitude of God, who he is, what he does. But people, my, you know, take time to build my wife. It was just too much for me. I fell on the floor, started crying like a baby. Got out of my paperwork, I walked right into the seminary, and look where I'm at today. And my wife, God has jokes. My wife of 6 years, well, it all held together. When I did get nerve damage, I had to go through some objections. But anyway, give well, that's a whole other program. Give me your number or your contact information in case they want join up for Bible study in your church.
Amen. Well, our church's name is For Such a Time as This Ministries Church. We at this point we're online due to the COVID-19 restrictions. And we have a phone ministry. And ours is a teaching ministry. We teach on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 7 p.m. each day. And on Sundays from 10 to 12, in the morning to 12 noon. And the number to reach us is the free conference line. The number is 508-924-3020. That's 508-924-3020. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 7 p.m. On Mondays, ours is an interactive study where we're able, I'm always have a word, but people are able to interact. They're to ask questions about God. They can ask questions. I'm a Bible-believing pastor. I look into the Bible to see what the Bible says about the questions. So they can ask questions on Monday. Wednesday, we do Bible study. We're in the book of John, the Gospel of John. On Wednesday, on Fridays, we have the okay. relationship study. It's a great study. Yep. God is building. We're building yep. on it. And we're really doing some work with the marriage.
All right, got 5 seconds left. So they got it. I will have to cancel this program because we're running out of time. But we've enjoyed your presence and the presence of your Queen Roseboro. And we hope it's been a blessing to some. Now, 8 o'clock was supposed to be my special program, but I just got a call saying that a special guest has an emergency and can't come on. So I have to reschedule that for probably Tuesday. And so I'll just have to go out there and spend time with my wife, who's back from the hospital. And that's all right, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen, this has been another Adolescent Radio One Moment. We thank you. Keep your head up. As I always say, keep your head up. Keep your head up. May God bless you. All right.
Amen.